Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord that He is. I thank God that He loves us. He cares about us in every way. And He thinks of everything fully. Everything that God does is perfect. He's looking at all. He makes His judgment, and He always does, on His vast knowledge. He has good He has perfect intelligence. So when He tells you to do something, it is perfectly thought out. And men are reluctant to go forward or move or act quickly on what God say. And many times there are so many losses in the kingdom of God. And nobody can tell that they are suffering from the losses, because every time they fail to trust Him and go forward, they also fail they miss opportunities to use the faith that they are already skilled in using. Every time you use your faith appropriately, you also have a chance to learn much greater things. And that's the only way you're going to learn it. That's the only way you'll get it. Yesterday's broadcast, I mentioned how sometimes the Holy Spirit can relate things to us so that we can get it. Now, in my case, many times He used visions. Sometimes when I ask Him a question, He don't just tell me the answer all at once. Sometimes He can, but sometimes He has to prepare me to receive. Sometimes He has to relay a thought to me in a way I can get it. So when I mentioned about how He showed me that vision of my friend that was upset with me, and I loved him anyway, the Lord told me, He answered a question I had before Him for many months. He said, "You handled it the same way." And it worked. It was something I could relate to, because He had taught me how to love His people a year prior. And so the example I gave yesterday, you can destroy temptation with your love. You can't lust after a person if you love them like God loves you. It's not even possible. So when you walk, sometimes we don't have problems. Or problems. Some people actually do these things and they don't realize that the love of God is how they're standing. They fill their heart with love, and you see things totally different. You don't observe things the same. And I didn't know this, I didn't know the mechanics. Sometimes people don't know the mechanics of what they're doing. Some people are blessed and they don't realize how blessed they are. And some people are trapped and they don't realize how trapped they are when they live a life of sin. They don't know where it's going to end up and how it's going to fall down. They just don't see it. But, just like when Jesus went to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, He tempted Him with things that would be desirable. So the same year I got called to the ministry, I had the same situation Jesus did. My life was like living in a wilderness. And Satan was throwing fiery darts at me, one after the other. Wherever I go, I saw His handiwork. And I had to learn to fight. And I was bombarded with something I was trying to avoid. And when I first got saved, I used to be in a band years ago. We were too young to play at clubs. And some of the members were too young to play in a club. And I wanted to play music. And I wanted the music to be good music and be a blessing to people. And, some of the music we played, we shouldn't have been playing. We liked the songs, but when we considered it, me and Barry used to talk about some of the things we were singing. It was just not the word of God. And I began to have a problem with it. And when they made me the manager, I said, "Well, let's work on originals. You'll make more money with an original hit than you can singing somebody else's music." So They and the guys were very talented musicians. They could listen to a song the first time and play it like the people on the radio. I mean, Charles would say, y'all heard the song? They say, no, he'll play it. And before, one minute in the song, everybody playing it, and they sound just like the people on the radio. And so we worked on originals. But anyway, after the days of the band, after I got out, I changed my life, and I wanted to do right and not wrong. So me and some other guys would clean up the church. We went to Refuge Temple, and we would clean up. And that's how we wanted to work and do something for God. We couldn't preach yet. Didn't know the Lord good. We were saved, and we wanted to serve. And we wanted to do something for God for once. So on Friday night, when a lot of guys would be getting in trouble, we cleaned up the church. So I was motivated. In 87, and that's 83, but 4 years later, here I am. I'm called to the ministry, and then the devil's trying to tempt me with women everywhere I went. And I asked him, I said, I don't want to live with temptation. I want to know how to kill it. I want to destroy it. See, if you can think it, God can do it. And that's where we're getting at. That's where I'm going with this. And if you can't relate to it through conversation, God can get the answer to you. That's the other point I want to get over. You're not limited. You're not limited by other people's lack of knowledge. You're not limited by your own lack of knowledge. The Holy Spirit is better than any encyclopedia set. He's well-versed on everything. And the Lord knows how to get the answer. Now, let me go back. And I'm going to try to be linear again. The Lord loves his people. And everything he do is well thought out to perfection. So when he say do something, that's your opportunity. If you receive it with devotion and excitement, and you know, then God can work with you. If you're reluctant, you may miss a prime opportunity to be a blessing to many people. And some people, bless their heart, they try to, if it's not going to make them wealthy, or if it's not going to make them look good, they won't fool with it. We can't do God that way. If God needs us for something, it's important. He may send you to a small town to minister to one person that's about to commit suicide, like he did Henry Groover. Now, Henry Groover had to go to the radio station and be there at a certain time early in the morning. But the Lord woke him up in the middle of the night and told him to leave and go to this town. He went to a gas station right where God wanted him to be. And the man was preparing to commit suicide. And when he asked him where the radio station was, he told him, and they had a conversation. And he talked the man out of suicide, and he had time to talk to him until the radio station, which was not too far away, opened up. See, some people are not yielded to God that way. But Henry Groover didn't care about how his finances, you know, he was more concerned about souls. And he was more concerned about being a blessing to people. And he had the anointing for it. And he was a prayer walker. And the Lord taught him things that you just can't learn at seminary. Because there was nobody that could teach it, nowhere. But he kept following God. He kept entering into, he would live in God's presence. And the Lord showed him what to do. And the Lord showed him how to tear down satanic strongholds over the earth. He prayer walked many countries and broke the covenant with death. And that, the reason I brought that up is because he was yielded, and he didn't miss those opportunities that others miss. He would actually do what God said. He wouldn't roll over and go to sleep on God. If the Lord want me to pray in the Holy Spirit, I'm thankful that he woke me up, and I pray earnestly until I know that I won, hoping he'll do it more often. Some people will just roll over and go back. You know, being selfish is not good. You are a king on the earth, even if you're a woman. We are priests and kings. He didn't say kings and priests. I mean, queens and priests. He said kings and priests. So I told my wife, I said, you're a king. This is your jurisdiction. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The question is not what God is going to allow. The question is whether you're going to allow it. Satan is not the king here. He's not. He was kicked out. Man gave him his authority. Jesus gave us his authority. Now Satan is operating on the authority of fallen men and deceived men of God. Even if he can deceive a man of God, he'll use that authority too. But if you won't be deceived and you won't have what he's doing, and you tell him to stop, Satan has to shut it down. It's just like when the revenuers will come and they'll see the whiskey stills out there, the distilleries. They shut it down and they'll tear them up, and ain't nothing they can do about it. They could try to fight, but the revenues were backed by the government. They could have them arrested or kill them or both. Some would die, some would go to jail. And they didn't play. And you have more authority than the revenues did. You're backed by God. You're the king in this realm. Not even God is the king here. He's the king of kings. Why? Because of the lease. Until the covenant week is up, the Lord has to wait until the Sabbath day when Jesus will come and reign from the earth. Now, when Jesus come and touch down on the earth, he's going to reign. That begins the millennial reign of God. So, I thank God that, you know, he's going to do this. Until the lease is up, you're the king here. And how do we don't know how to be a king. We don't have to. We're supposed to stay yielded to the head. We're the body of Christ. Okay, the body of Christ is the king in this realm. And the head is where we get all of our orders from heaven. So, we have to look to Jesus. Without the head, we just can't function right. And that's the problem I want to solve. That's the problem I want all of God's people to solve. I want every one of God's children to solve this problem. If they ever become the body and stop trying to do Jesus' job, be the head, it'll work. But if you take orders from the head, you will always be covenant appropriate. Now, covenant appropriate. Now you're in agreement with God to the point of action. That's what covenant appropriate living is about. So when the Lord introduced you to something new, some people shut it down because it don't fit their religious paradigm. And this is something that everybody does. Either it's a religious paradigm that they honor first over what God has given them, or their own thoughts. And so the Lord will introduce you to something new. That's going to happen. If Jesus tarry long enough, statistically, he's going to give you something to do that nobody else in the world has done. And there's no knowledge of it anywhere that you can get to and ask somebody, has this been done before? The Holy Spirit will always give you something that's new. When he gave me the living letters, that was new. I didn't even know what to call them. I let my mother see it. She said, those are sermons. But it didn't have a destination. When God gave me a sermon, I know I'm going to preach at Hopewell Methodist Church because I was invited there. He's giving me a message so I can preach the message there. Or Twin Towers, I go to the old folks home, preach the message there. Or wherever church he had me to go, he gave me a message for the church. And it would fit the church. And then he gave me a word for people. But before he started giving me words for people, well, when he gave me a word, it had a destination. The living letters, it didn't have a specific destination. I didn't know what to do. And I did like most Christians. I wrote it down left it in my notebook until the right person saw it. Then he said, make me a copy and have it typed up and make me a copy. And I made 100 copies. My uncle died. You know the story if you listen to these broadcasts. My cousin said, that'll bless the family. So I passed them out. So the Lord gave me another one. God, he needs faithfulness. When he tried to get you to go to a new glory, and that can come many ways. He might put it in your heart to listen to a specific person. Now, this is when people really drop the ball. Some people are too proud to listen to somebody that God points out. They may not have gone to seminary. They may have. They may be older, younger. You may not think they know what they're talking about. I'm going to tell you something about Christians. Some people have revelations. God has given them revelation knowledge. And people don't go around telling everything that they're skilled at. If you judge the book by its cover, so to speak, if God put it on your heart and you ignore it, that's where you're going to live. You're not going to go forward. You're not going to know what he was getting to. And it's impossible unless God show you some kind of vision. But see, if you got too much pride to yield to what he's doing and seek it out, you're not even worthy of it. I'm going to say that again. That may not have went over well. If you can't receive what God is saying with faith and see it through because God said it, if you stop there, you're not worthy of whatever blessing and knowledge you would have gained. Sometimes, I remember Rod Parsley, a lot of pastors, he was a friend of mine, he was Pastor Jackson's pastor, and every year Pastor Jackson would go up there to a camp meeting, you know. And all the pastors under his ministry would come, and Pastor Jackson would go. But Rod Parsley said, many pastors come to me wanting to know how to grow that ministry so that it'll be successful. Because they see his ministry. He's in the middle of a cornfield, and it's called World Harvest Church. It's a beautiful building, beautiful facility. And he is a wise man of God, too. He's anointed. And they asked me, how do you grow a ministry like yours? He said, I don't know. I love this answer because that's the revelation God gave me. He said, I don't know. You chase God and it happens. And for years, since 1991, the Lord taught me about following God. He gave me all kind of revelation about it. I got 30 years worth of, let's see, this is 2022. You'll see. Let me see how many years this is. I got over 30 something years worth of revelation concerning following God. See, when the Lord started teaching me this, he never stopped. All right, 2022. Minus 1990. That's 32 years of continual revelation concerning following God. You would think it out of 32 years, he gave me revelation after revelation after, and all kind of things about following God for all that time. And it was other things with it, aspects of it. And it's a simple teaching, but trying to relay it in this world you just have to find the right people. If you got the right people, it's easy as pie. I was finna say it was difficult, but it's really not. It's impossible to the proud. They're not going to get it. And God will try to, if they were faithful and they were making progress, God will honor them and try to give them more. Jesus said, if you bear fruit, he'll purge you that you bear more fruit. See, when you go to heaven, you're going to know what you've done. And many pastors and preachers and apostles are going to ask the Lord, how come their ministry didn't grow? And he's going to show them in a vision. You remember when I sent you to this person? Or I told you to go to this school or have a conversation with this man or woman? And you wouldn't do it? And they can't say nothing, but yeah, I remember that. He said, that's where you stop. I'm not saying this like that. I wouldn't say this. I fear God. I wouldn't say anything to God's people. But that's what's going to happen. Why? Because sometimes people stop at one glory when we should be growing from glory to glory. Now let's look at the first scripture I got. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And, you know, it's important. The things of God are too important. And see, the Lord brought to me some of the things he told others to do. They didn't do it. And now God can't move them forward. He gave them instructions and they wouldn't listen. This is 2 Corinthians 3. Now, the whole chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, I would love to go back and study it verse by verse, and I might do that, but right now, let's look at verse 17 and 18. It says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In other words, you are free. You're free to move about in unlimited power. You're free to live, and there's no cap on it. Verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes people have passed tests, they've been faithful, and now it's time to go to the next glory. Now, if you think like the devil, you're not going. If you agree with anything of Satan, the enemy will use whatever your distraction is to keep you out. Now, that don't mean that the people like Satan. Satan's an enemy to them. But if they love preeminence, preeminent people will not do anything, or a proud man will not do anything to honor others and look humble. So Satan got them. They're not gonna be a greater threat than what they already are. And don't tell me that Christians don't have a problem with pride. You have to destroy it. If you don't drive it out of your life, he'll use it against you. It's just like that's, and I knew this when it was about lust. Satan was trying to get me into lust, and I was resisting it. I didn't want it in my life, and I wouldn't entertain it, but I didn't want to be tempted. I did get tempted with it, but I wanted to hate it. So I said, Lord, help me. I don't know how to hate it. I want you to help me hate it. So a student of Charles Capps. See, it's all right to be a student of other people, even though you have a relationship with the Lord. See, when the Holy Spirit speaks, I honor him. If he used another vessel, I'm going to honor him too, or her. It's not like I listen to God, God talk to me, I don't need you. That's not true. That's pride. That's why people fail. Because I've been blessed by men, women, boys, girls, young men, old men, older women, younger women. Anybody that speak God's word, thank you, Jesus. Another piece of the puzzle. Another chance to be a blessing. Another chance to go forward. People see things that I don't always see. My wife sees things I don't see sometimes. So the Holy Spirit in them, I want to hear what he got to say. It's the same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that Jesus honored and walked in. Same Holy Spirit that Peter, Paul, James, John, all of them. Same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit can be on my niece on my son, on my daughters. See, it don't work. You're not going to be the grandmaster. If you're trying to be the grandmaster, you're in the wrong outfit. Jesus is the head. If he sends an order, I want to hear it and do it. So the Lord recently told me how some people have not done what they should have done. They didn't act on what he told them to do. And their lives would be so much further along and the ministry would have exploded. But they didn't use what God wanted to give them through his other vessel, you know. Now, and I know about this stuff. That's what I've been dealing with. So my question was, why do Christians act like that? And they're skilled at faith. Why do they do that anyway? Well, it's just like, it's no different than our Baptist and Methodist brothers in the past, of course, was. You tell them about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, they wouldn't have it. The people in the Pentecostal churches was getting healed, and they still wouldn't listen. They wouldn't go and do research. They put it in a religious category. Well, our seminary didn't do it that way. We just don't see it that way. And then they make jokes and they stick to that glory. All right, in 2 Corinthians, see, look at what he said. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. All right, somebody used a scripture out of context and said tongues have ceased and they died out with the apostles. And so many, I mean, wonderful men and women of God believe. I'm just using this for an example. So Pentecostals, don't think that you got an A plus. I'm just using what our denominational brothers and sisters have done to give you an example, because you did the same thing. The seminaries started a long time ago by somebody, by a man. Who believed this? And since it was prestigious, and now you're an organization, and see, the enemy know how to set things up to stay a certain way. If you were a traditional Baptist or Methodist and others, if it's an organization, they tell you what church to pastor. Not God, they do. The bishop tell you where to go. Because my dad was a Methodist pastor. And they give you a parsonage. But you got to do this doctrine. And you got to stick to it. If you deviate, we're going to have a problem. So they stick to the bylaws. And that's why they don't grow from glory to glory. Now, I don't have a problem as long as with the person that do that. If they really believe that. And they just didn't enter into another glory. God can use them in that glory for the rest of their time. And they can do a great work for God. And many Pentecostals were Baptists first. And they came from good people. Baptist people are wonderful people. Methodist people are wonderful people as well. And one hole in this church came from the Church of God in Christ. Came from the Methodist Church. They became Pentecostals because John Wesley said, pray for the second blessing. And some of them began to speak in tongues. And then the overseers had a problem with it. So they went to another denomination. So this is not just a denominational problem. This is a person. This is a man problem. Now, the Pentecostals, I said, you don't get an A-plus either. Because when the Lord tried to introduce you into greater glory, you stick to whatever bylaws you believe. And it's a problem because God, the anointing is unlimited. And people that you grow from glory to glory. We're always being conformed to the image of Christ. So when the head sends somebody to you and you don't hear them out, and you don't do the research, you don't even give them a chance. You know, Proverbs 8, oh man, let's see where it is. Here it is, Proverbs 18, verse 13. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Sometimes people put others in a category to their own demise. Now, I want to give you another example. That some of the things that Henry Gruber taught was very new to me, but I could identify with it. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I was learning from him, just like I learned from Kenneth Hagin. When I listened to Steve Quayle talk about the giants and all the things that's going on in secret, the UFO problem, you know, and I said, now, you know, the ancient aliens get a free pass. They, you know, people consider them weird anyway. But when you watch the show and they show you the evidence, it's very strong. But it has a idolatrous twist to it. Well, God raised up Holy Ghost men and women to expose the things that's really going on. They minister to people that have been abducted. Now, that's weird to the modern religious mind. There's no such thing as a UFO. Now, you got all them planets out there. The Revelation said the stars were far from heaven. It's not talking about literal stars, because it don't take but one to destroy the earth. But it also said that the problems that it will cause. So the stars didn't just obliterate the planet. He's talking about people from the stars. And some people say, well, those are angels. Not all, because 1 Corinthians 15 talks about terrestrial beings and celestial beings. I don't know why that's so hard for people. Once you're stuck in a way of thinking, and you want to keep it the way you believe it, that's pride. But when God raised up Holy Ghost men and women of God, that's mature. And they teach you things, and they show you things. The people that did the research, they talked to people.